You know, Paul makes an interesting statement to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, which is my key scripture in the 20 minutes I have left. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed. Now, to be perplexed means you find yourself in a situation where you don't know how to get out of. He says, but we are not driven to despair. Why are you driven to despair? Why are you driven to despair? Hey. He says, we are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You see, you think that your Christian faith means no one's going to touch you, that the enemy ain't going to come for you. Well, you thought wrong. And whoever taught you that lied to you. As a matter of fact, you attract more attention. But guess what? Many may come. 1,000 may fall this side. 10,000 may fall this side. But right here. I was sharing something that hit my heart last night. A revelation that hit me. And it's such an obvious thing. And I said, and I was reading the scripture and it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who is with me? The good shepherd. But who is the good shepherd? He is the light. I'm like, what? So, there's a valley of a shadow of death. That means there's a dark cloud over me, but there's a light walking with me. That means in that darkness, I have light. Sometimes we're in darkness because, you know, Wayne and I used to have this joke when we used to go on tour and trips. We used to say, sometimes when I close my eyes, I can't see. Sometimes when I'm sleeping, I'm not awake. It's true. Sometimes we're walking through a valley of a... thanks, guys. You guys can go sit down. It's fine. Worship night was last week where we made you stand all night. Psalm 129 verse says, many times they have persecuted me from my youth, but they have not prevailed against me. Let me tell you something. And Shumisa shared this, touched on this while we were praying as a team in Proverbs 24, where it says that the day of adversity, if you faint at that day of adversity, your strength is weak. You are weak. Because here's the thing. Adversity will come. Listen, Jesus says, you know what? You are an overcomer. He says, trials and tribulations will come. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome. Paul writes, and I think he says this to the Roman church. He says, rejoice in times of tribulation and trial. Why? Because it builds endurance. And endurance builds character. Let me tell you something. Some of you are gifted and your gifting has gotten you into places, but you've never been able to stay in those places because your character has never been developed for those places. So sometimes it's actually good that you go through a bit of a tough time or some obstacles. How do you know you're an overcomer if you never have to overcome anything? How do you know you're a world champion if you've never had to face the best? How? How are you going to know? Oh, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. When there's a casting down, lifting up. When have you ever experienced a casting down when you've had to stand up and say, I'm being lifted up irrespective? You think, oh, you know, sometimes God just wants to boast about you. You see my servant Job. Look at him. Ah, Job, my guy. Ah, they took everything away. Everything gone. But look at him. Now notice that they took, not God took. But God says, ah, look at my guy Job. This one. He's fire. Look at him. Even though he had nothing, he still praises me. The man cut off his hair. This is what he had left and beard and everything and said, God, I give you this sacrifice, this offering. I have nothing else but my hair. Look at me. Gave my hair. You cannot faint in the day of adversity. Paul writes to the Galatians, says, do not grow weary. Why are you tired? Because whose strength were you doing it in the first place? You see, sometimes we try to be strong for God. You don't need to be strong for God. God's strong enough. I love this one analogy. It says, sometimes you don't need to defend a lion. All you need to do is just open the gate and get out the way. Just open the gate. Get out the way. You don't have to worry about all these other things. I love this text of scripture in Isaiah chapter 14. It says, they that wait on the Lord, right? Now, I've always read this wrong. Maybe it's just me. And I've always read it. It says, and they, let me actually get it so I can get it right, how I read it wrong. And I always read it. It says, they will mount up on the wings of eagles, you know, something along those lines. But it actually says, and they will mount up wings like eagles. So waiting on God develops wings for you to fly. When you wait on God, you get lifted up. Actually, no. Sorry. Point of correction. When you wait on God, He gives you the ability to lift up. He gives you the ability to fly up. The Amplified Classic, when it says that, it says, and He'll fly and you soar above close to the heavens like an eagle. It says close to God. And then when adversity comes, you think, you know, it's not fair. Yet in every other sphere of life, whether you go to school here, you get tests. They make you smarter. They make you better. You go to gym. You pick up heavier weights. It makes you stronger. You run. What do? You run longer distances. It makes you faster and stronger and fitter. Why is it that your Christian faith must not have any challenges? To make you stronger. And then you ask yourself, why am I failing in the day of adversity? Why am I weak? Why am I stumbling and falling? Why is it that when challenges come, why? Because you need to fight in the day of adversity. Do you know some of the greatest technological challenges that have ever taken place in the world take place after a war? Whenever there's war, whenever there's times of challenging, whenever there's times of violence, what happens? It comes out. People come out stronger because they are forced to innovate. Your spirit man gets forced to step up when challenges come. That's why you must not draw back or faint. That's why the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews says, we are not of those that draw back. We cannot be those that draw back, that get pushed back the moment things get difficult. I'm a Christian. Guys, let's go to an SCA evangelism thing at school. I'll slide into people's DMs. You must think you're the Holy Ghost. You know, in the book of Micah, it says something, and it says, Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, the second portion, it says, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. That means there'll be times in your life where things are tough. Not because God has put toughness on you, but because that's the earth we live in. It rains on the just and the unjust. You have to understand that. We live in a world where things are going to go wrong because it's a fallen world. But the great thing, can you imagine millions of people walking through the desert? 3 million, thank you for the accuracy of doctrine and scripture. 3 million people, slaves or ex-slaves now, walking out of, their mindset is still a slave. Is your mindset, let me just slide into your DMs quickly. Is your mindset still a slave? Are you still stuck on who you were before you got saved? Is your system glitching? Are you still in the matrix even though you've been set free? Some of you too young to know what the matrix is. I'm not talking about that thing that came out of a couple of, like a year or two ago. I'm talking about like Is your system consistently rebooting to a default setting that no longer applies? Are you running an old iOS that doesn't even allow you to have WhatsApp? Are you okay? Are you expired milk? No, the reason I'm asking all of these questions, because the truth of the matter is sometimes we get so stuck on who we were and forgetting where we're going, because we're pursuing towards a mark of a high calling, and that mark of the high calling is that away, but you're still busy looking back and turning into salt. You're stuck in what happened. You're stuck in some previous glory. But there's that former thing that's holding you back. You have to cut ties and let go. Move towards where God has called you. Because even on this journey, and I remember sharing this on Wednesday, and I said, some of you are frustrated because you're not walking in the purpose that God has called you to be in. And you're frustrated because the adversary doesn't want you winning. The adversary never wants you winning. So he will always choose to frustrate you. He will always choose to come against you. He will always take whatever situation and circumstance and say, you see? But if it does not line up with the word of the Lord, then you need to step away from it. Why are you stuck in where you were instead of focusing on where you're going? There is a mark. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 at the end. He says to Timothy, he says, hey Tim, I just want to let you know, I have run my race. I've done what I need to do. I'm giving you the Bande Kentane translation. I've done what I need to do. What about you? Because my question is simple. When I stand before God one day, when I know I will be without excuse, I know. And I don't care what you think or what you say. Yeah, God will understand that I was weak. God will understand that. No, God gave you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. That means you had every tool in your, you had everything. You're like, you know those archers in movies that have all the trick arrows. You're like, that guy, everything is there. Everything. You had every single tool you ever needed pertaining to life and godliness. So that means pertaining to walking out a godly life in the supernatural power of God, but also pertaining to being on this earth and being of good character and being a living epistle, being an example, being someone people can follow and listen to, being a leader. You had everything you ever needed. And if you do nothing with it, you will stand before God one day and you'll have to answer why. And you will not have a response. All you will end up doing is weeping and gnashing your teeth. Get my cloth. Don't worry, that's no one here's car getting stolen. You see, the Bible says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will always get up. But the question is, are you a righteous man? Are you a person in the right place with the Lord? And I'm not just talking about being saved. I'm talking about walking in the perfect will of the Lord for your life. Not the perfect will of the Lord in terms of how my life is, or Shumisa's life is, or my wife, or whoever. Are you walking and running your race with the Lord? Or are you stuck looking at everybody else? Listen, man, I love men of God out there. I listen to them. But I cannot base my walk on another man of God, because he's based his walk on him and his relationship with God. I can listen to them to get insight, to learn, to receive revelation, because they have learned things. They have seen things. They can explain things, which when I listen to them speak to me in where I'm at, and then I'm able to step out and say, oh God, that's for me. Or am I stuck trying to just fit in, trying to be someone I used to be, trying to be someone else? Am I just stuck in that? And it's a very interesting thing because when we face these situations in our lives, we always have options. And those options will determine where we go. Are you going to choose God through the circumstance you are facing? Let me ask the question like this, and even for you at home, who's watching right now, whether on television or online. Who here in the past month has faced a difficult situation, like faced obstacles? Whatever it is, in whatever capacity. Notice my hand is up. And some of these things were painful. And some of these things were very hard. And let me ask this question. Who here has ever faced something and you thought, I'm done for, but you're still alive now and you're like, huh? But you look back at it now and you're like, you look back at it and you're like, let me share something with you. And I didn't even ask my wife if I can share this, but it's not like it's, I was from Isa. Share it. I need to get the spot. I need to get the spot. I was standing right here. It was 2015. Faith Connect. My wife was in Cape Town in hospital. And I was in East London. End of the year. Dr. Andre says to me, actually he said it to me back in the lounge. He said, listen man, if you need to go to Cape Town and be with your wife, go to Cape Town and be with your wife. And I remember, I think we spoke. And her response to me, let me give you some backstory. Let me give you some backstory for you to have context. I met my wife in 2010. In 2011, 2012, she's like shaking her head. No, 2012. Shut up. In 2012, my wife, who was then not even she was my fiance. Yes. Who at that point was my fiance, fell ill. Couldn't understand why. That exact same time, my father had a heart attack. My dad was Mtata having on life support. My fiance at that time, now I'm running through the timeline, but everything that happened, now she's in Cape Town. I'm in East London. If in the time of adversity, you faint, you are weak. Your faith is weak. Why is your faith weak? Only you can answer that question, not me. Because you can build your faith. Or let me say, you can build an access point deeper into your faith. Let me use the terminology and the wording like that. So anyway, I stood here and Dr. Andre had asked me, do you not want to go to Cape Town? This is obviously now the second time in 2015 where she had to go for another operation again. You have to understand this. When we were doing youth ministry back in the day, it was constantly dealing with this whole thing. A constant fight for how many years? 3 years? 4 years? Many years. Having to constantly fight. But constantly we had to choose. Now, I wasn't the one going through the pain, but I was the one who had to watch and feel helpless. But I constantly had to choose and stand on the word of God. You see, if you have nothing to stand on, if your foundation is weak, you will crumble under the pressure of adversity that comes. When the storm comes, you will crumble and fall if you do not have a firm foundation to stand on. Every single person needs a firm. Some of you, few of you, Lusando might remember the time back then. Dini will remember the time back then. These were the things we had to fight for. Kanya plays drums, remembers the time back then. Tando sitting back there will remember. These are the things we had to face and constantly had to fight through. But in the day of adversity, what are you made of? James says this in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God promised him. As I said before, rejoice. in your suffering, for it builds endurance. And let me tell you something. Some of the men of God and women of God that you guys listen to and you admire so much, what I'm telling you is nothing compared to some of the stuff they've had to face. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They've had to face some incredible difficult things. You think that the lives are easy and people just walk through and glaze through life? No. There's a reason why the Bible says the enemy looks to and fro for whom we can devour. He's looking because he also understands that if he strikes leaders down, everyone is possibly going to scatter. But if you aren't ready, and let me tell you something, you might think, okay, you talk about leaders. Let me tell you something. The fact that the kids at your school know that you're a Christian, if you stumble and fall, there's guaranteed at least another five who will follow. In your workplace, at university, in college, if you, some of you Bible school students, none of them aren't here because they're on a holiday. You left wherever you were saying, I've got the call of God on my life. And there are people who are watching. And if you stumble and fall, you have such a great, now everyone's accountable for their own salvation. I'm accountable for my salvation. Irrespective of whatever happens to a leader I follow, I'm still accountable for my own salvation. But they are doubly accountable because they are a leader and a teacher. And if they cause even the littlest one to stumble. So if you count it all blessing when you face a trial, because that trial will build you and make you stronger. Don't look at, and here's the thing, please understand, I'm not saying God brings bad things to you, but he works it together for good. Take those situations as opportunities for God to shine.